This morning on WCHL, the investigator of UNC's academic scandal will give an update to the Board of Governors this morning. Rand Norton will be on his way there in a moment. Four new coaches are coming to Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools.
While our current coach was not the head coach for two of those years, he was still a crucial part of the program.
And the Chapel Hill Carborough Y is now a branch of the YMCA of the Triangle.
This relationship will mean great things for the entire region.
These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. And WCHL Championship Sports, a familiar face back on the basketball court. Stillman White is back from his mission, and now he's back in Carolina blue. And
11-year-old Lucy Lee shot a 78 in the U.S. Open. You're kidding me, right?
That's this morning in Art Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
8:06 at WCHL. It's up to 70 degrees in Chapel Hill now. High today about 90. At least we're not knocking on the door of 100. A little bit cooler today. A slight chance of rain in the afternoon. UNC will receive a high-level update at the Board of Governors meeting this morning from the investigator hired to conduct an independent investigation into the university's past academic and athletic irregularities. The university hired former federal prosecutor Kenneth Weinstein in January to conduct the investigation. Weinstein has informed UNC that no factual findings will be shared in the update because his investigation is not yet complete. He's told the university that he hopes to have the investigation concluded before classes start this fall. In response to a request for a statement from UNC about the latest in the investigation and the academic scandal, the university released the following, and I quote, "At this time, we think it is best to allow Ken Weinstein to continue his work without the university creating a concurrent review of every claim that arises. Once Mr. Weinstein has completed his work and makes that public, we will be very interested in sharing our plans for moving forward." Unquote. Again, Rand Northam on his way to the Board of Governors meeting at UNC. Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools announced the hiring of four new high school coaches last night. Among those are former Reidsville High boys basketball coach Bill Walton, not to be confused with the former UCLA and NBA player. He will take over for interim Chapel Hill High School coach Layson Perkins. And Carborough High assistant football coach Melvin Griffin, who now takes over the head coaching position at Carborough High. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
On Thursday night, Tim Bennett, athletic director at Chapel Hill High, issued a statement that reads, in part, quote, "We are excited to announce three new coaches, William Walton, Jason Curtis, and Greg Kane, to our coaching staff at Chapel Hill High School. Each one brings valuable experience and strong leadership to our athletic program," end of quote. And Carborough High School athletic director April Ross issued this statement about new head football coach Melvin Griffin. Quote, "Coach Griffin has extensive knowledge and experience in football, and we have the utmost respect and confidence in his abilities to lead our program. We are currently seeking qualified assistant coaches to complete our football coaching staff," end of quote. Moving up from assistant football coach at Carborough High, Griffin replaces Jason Tudorin, who left in April to take a job as UNC's first director of high school relations. New Chapel Hill High boys basketball coach Bill Walton resigned as Reidsville High's head coach back in January, citing health reasons. In 8-plus seasons, Walton led the Reidsville Rams to a record of 145-72. His most recent predecessor at Chapel Hill High, Layson Perkins, was named interim coach in the wake of former athletic director and head coach Todd Morgan's departure last September. Morgan took a job at C.B. Acock High School in Pikeville. Perkins led the Tigers through a 19-8 season and was an assistant coach under Morgan for 4 years. At Thursday night's Chapel Hill Carborough Board of Education meeting at Lincoln Center, several people from the basketball program at Chapel Hill High came out to voice their disappointment that Perkins would not carry on as head coach. This was just before the new hires were announced. Here's team member Jeremy Worden.
I've been in the Chapel Hill basketball program for 3 years. Throughout these years, the varsity basketball team has encompassed a 69-14 record, as well as being back-to-back-to-back conference champions. While our current coach was not the head coach for two of those years, he was still a crucial part of the program. He's a great tactician, coming up with countless offensive and defensive schemes created to complement our personnel.
Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools Executive Director for Community Relations Jeff Nash has pointed out that CHCCS hires all coaches for only one season at a time. The other two new coach hires for Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools are Greg Kane, the head softball and baseball coach for Smith Middle School, who will now be the head coach for Chapel Hill High Softball, and Jason Curtis, the new head coach for men's and women's soccer at Chapel Hill High. He's stepping up from the assistant coaching position there. For more on this story, you can read it at chapelborough.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Chapel Hill Carborough YMCA has voted to become a branch of the YMCA of the Triangle. Associate Vice President of Communications for the YMCA of the Triangle, Jennifer Nelson, says that this merge will be greatly beneficial for members of the staff as well as community members across the area.
This relationship between the YMCA of the Triangle and the Chapel Hill YMCA will mean great things for the entire region. Each Y is a reflection of the community where it's located, and we think that this will provide the opportunity for staff to grow and be part of the formalized training that the YMCA of the Triangle has, but will allow the volunteer board to think about serving the community in more strategic ways. We just anticipate a lot of benefit for people who are already members and for the broader community.
Because of such change, Nelson says the YMCA of the Triangle is considering new opportunities in the near future for those who wish to utilize all the facilities offered by all the branches of the Triangle YMCA. She also says that this merge will not result in any changes to members' accessibility to the Chapel Hill Carborough Y.
We do have throughout the YMCA of the Triangle an opportunity. It's called a Triangle membership. It's a few dollars more a month where you can access every branch in the region, and that will certainly be an opportunity, but there may be some other ones. As it is right now, if you're a Chapel Hill Y member, when you go to a Chapel Hill YMCA, it should be exactly the same.
Nelson has worked with our local Y in the past on different events and projects, particularly the annual support campaign, We Build People. In that campaign, the Y has added 19% more people to programs in our local community. Nelson says this merge will be phenomenal and will make things better for the entire Triangle.
We've learned from each other and worked really side by side through a number of efforts. We are looking forward to working with everyone more closely.
Recent UNC graduate Camille McGirt is the co-founder of Healthy Girls Save the World. That's a program for young girls that encourages healthy living for the mind and body that functions right out of UNC.
Healthy Girls Save the World is a program that promotes healthy minds, healthy bodies, and healthy relationships for girls in 6th through 9th grade. And we have events at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill where we allow our girls to meet college athletes, engage in physical activity, and learn about respectful and positive relationships through our many lessons and activities that we have for our girls.
McGirt's journey to start Healthy Girls Save the World began after tearing her ACL while she was playing basketball for Carolina. She decided to rebrand herself and began an internship at the White House. And she was inspired by First Lady Michelle Obama and her desire to fight childhood obesity. And McGirt wanted to make a difference for girls once she returned to North Carolina. UNC provided McGirt with overwhelming resources to kickstart her idea and make it a reality, and it's lasted for over 3 years now. The three pillars of Healthy Girls Save the World, healthy minds, healthy bodies, and healthy relationships, are the foundations upon which McGirt's programs are structured for both summertime and during the school year for the girls.
Essentially every single day, we expose them to a different pillar of Healthy Girls Save the World, and we create activities and lessons that are completely aligned with that pillar. And that's how our lessons also go when we have them during the school year. We pick which pillar that we would like to focus on, and we create lessons and activities or field trips that are aligned to those different pillars.
Camille McGirt says she wants these experiences for the young girls to leave a lasting impression that they will always carry with them.
We really pride ourselves in exposing our girls to a lot of different sports, college athletes, and education. And we really hope that girls will retain the knowledge that we are giving them and use it in their daily lives.
For more information on Healthy Girls Save the World, you can read this story on our website, chapelborough.com. North Carolina budget negotiations are delayed because lawmakers in Governor Pat McCrory's administration are still updating how much money they're going to need for Medicaid next year. Fiscal researchers for the legislature and state budget director Art Pope said yesterday they've had a hard time collecting detailed enrollment and spending information from the state Medicaid agency. Pope attributes the trouble to a surge in Medicaid enrollment through the federal health care law. He also says two new computer programs within the Department of Health and Human Services offer partial Medicaid use data this year. Pope says he's keeping lawmakers informed as they create an updated forecast soon. The House and Senate budgets are about $250 million apart on how much more Medicaid money is required through mid-2015. Governor McCrory has signed into law a bill laying out the activities students and staff can perform while exercising their constitutional rights for religious expression and prayer in North Carolina's public schools. McCrory's office said the legislation was one of four bills he signed yesterday. The measure explains how school administrators should comply with federal law and guidance on constitutionally protected prayer. It attempts to make clear the extent to which religious views and literature can be shared on campus and what school personnel may do during voluntary student-led prayer. Another new law directs the State Board of Education to identify students with military parents or other military connections in school records. The identification could help the state tap into federal military funds. WCHL News Time, 8:15. Time now for traffic and weather together. Our traffic report is brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue Pit.
Well, thank you very much, Ron. Out on the roadways right now, and things are still moving fairly smoothly as people are trying to get to work safely on this Friday. Hope that you do. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Send us a tweet at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely, and here's to the weekend.
Rand, if you would, take just a minute to tell people where you're going right now.
That's right. I am heading to the Board of Governors meeting this morning, as this morning will be a pretty big one. It's the first time that Kenneth Weinstein will be speaking out to the UNC community. Now, this is not a report. This is not the final findings of Kenneth Weinstein, but he was hired by UNC to investigate the academic scandal, the past improprieties, if you will, of UNC, and he is been told to go wherever the evidence leads him, so he will be digging up whatever there is to dig up, and will give UNC that report. But this is just an update on where he is in his investigation. He will not be giving any factual findings. He will just be giving an update as his investigation is ongoing. He expects to have it done before, or hopes to have it done before the fall semester begins.
Not expecting any big news here, but it is big news because Weinstein is speaking. We haven't heard from him before now. Rand, thank you so much.
Certainly, thank you.
Rand Northam on the road this morning, reporting on traffic with a firsthand account. And this traffic report brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue Pit in Durham, right next to New Hope Commons. Eat in, call ahead for takeout, order in advance, or arrange for catering at dickies.com. Now your Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you by the Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar. 72 degrees in Chapel Hill, partly sunny, 20% chance for showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. It's beginning to warm up now. We're shooting for a high today of about 90. Sounds a lot better than upper 90s or 100, doesn't it? Tonight, mostly cloudy with a 30% chance for showers and thundershowers. Low tonight, about 70. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, showers and thunderstorms likely, probably in the afternoon. Our high tomorrow in the upper 80s, chance of rain is 70%. Also, a 70% chance of rain on Saturday night. And on Sunday, a little nicer day. Partly sunny, but only a 20% chance of rain and the high of about 85.
This is Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station, WCHL. Now, here's Ron Stutz.
WCHL News Time, 8:18. More legislative news this morning. Republicans in the General Assembly want to replace the state's Common Core testing standards for public schools, but can't agree on how to accomplish that. A House committee on Thursday rejected the Senate's Common Core bill and says it still supports its own plan. The vote signals Senate and House members will have to work out their differences in a conference committee before they adjourn for the year in the coming weeks. A Senate plan would keep the door open for the state to keep some of the current Common Core standards. A stricter House version wants to specifically prohibit any provisions from the National Common Core model from being used. And lawmakers also want to make sure that absentee votes cast by North Carolina residents who die before an election will count. The House Elections Committee on Thursday approved a measure saying such ballots can't be challenged because the voter died. The issue surfaced when the father of U.S. Senate candidate Mark Harris cast an absentee ballot before he died in April. Someone challenged the vote. The Forsyth County Elections Board discounted the ballot, citing a requirement that the voter has to be alive on the election date. House Speaker Tom Tillis is a co-sponsor of the bill that's named for Mark Harris's father. Tillis defeated Harris and others to win the Senate nomination. The bill now moves to the full House. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports. Most of the focus on the Carolina basketball team in the upcoming season will justifiably be centered on Marcus Page, J.P. Tokido, Bryce Johnson, and an incoming trio of very talented freshmen. But there's a familiar name returning to the Tar Heel roster for another crack at some memorable moments on the hardwoods. WCHL's Matt Oakes has the story.
Tar Heel fans everywhere remember the moment when a skinny high school-looking kid with a mop haircut and a bounce in his step was thrust center stage into the NCAA tournament pressure cooker when point guard Kendall Marshall went down with an injury. That's the last time Stillman White dribbled a basketball in Carolina uniform in a painful 80-67 loss to Kansas in the 2012 Elite Eight. Well, he's back, but Carolina faithful may struggle to recognize White this time around. He's the scrawny little kid no more. While completing his obligatory 2 years as a Mormon missionary, White says he's bulked up. White gained weight while going door-to-door sharing his faith in his suit and tie during his mission service. One thing is for sure, the scenery will look a little different from the last time White was in Chapel Hill. Luke Davis, Desmond Hubert, and Jackson Simmons are the only remaining players from the 2011-2012 squad. But White is getting acquainted with guys like Nate Britt, Isaiah Hicks, and Kennedy Meeks as they attend summer school classes together. The newly minted sophomore says the biggest shock to the system upon his return is how fast everybody is. White, however, is determined to get back in shape and be 100% prepared for the season come November. With so much new talent flooding through the Smith Center doors to join an already capable UNC team, exactly how much playing time White will see remains in doubt. Nobody knows what's in store for the matured White during the rest of his Carolina playing days, but it's certainly another exciting storyline to keep an eye on in the coming months. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHO.
In case you care about such things, the Charlotte Hornets have unveiled three new primary uniforms featuring white, purple, and teal. The uniforms bear a strong likeness and color scheme to the old Hornets regime, but have been slightly updated. The home white and away purple uniforms both read Hornets on the front instead of Charlotte on the front, as in years past. The alternate teal uniform, which will be worn 16 to 20 times per season at both home and away games, has Charlotte on the front. From 1988 to 2002, the team's primary uniforms all read Charlotte. Hornets Senior Vice President of Marketing, Entertainment, and Interactive Media, Seth Bennett, says, in 1988, people needed to know who Charlotte was, but that's no longer the case. The team did away with the popular teal pinstripes down the front of their home uniform. Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton practiced for the first time since undergoing ankle surgery on March 19th. That is certainly great news for Panthers fans. Newton worked in 7-on-7 drills during the team's final day of minicamp practice yesterday. Newton says he felt sluggish on his first day back, adding, "My mind was moving faster than my body, but that all comes with time." Welcome to the club, Cam. Newton says he's not yet near 100%, but any progress is good progress. He expects to be close to full speed when training starts July 25th. Coach Ron Rivera said Newton was cleared to practice medically on Wednesday, but nobody on the team knew that he would practice when they took the field on Thursday, and it was a nice, pleasant surprise. Rivera said he felt it was important for Newton to practice one time, at least, before the start of training camp. Carolina Hurricanes have hired Detroit Red Wings assistant Bill Peters as their new coach. The team announced Peters' hiring on Thursday and said he would be introduced today during a news conference. It's the first big hire for new general manager Ron Francis, who took over in April during a reshuffling of the organization. The 48-year-old Peters spent the past 3 years working primarily with the Red Wings defensemen and penalty killers. His hiring ends a 46-day search for Kirk Muller's replacement. He was fired back on May 5th after going 80-80-27 in three seasons. The Hurricanes haven't made the playoffs since 2009 and have made the postseason just once since winning the Stanley Cup in 2006. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. Now, a phenomenal story.
Art Chansky's Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
11-year-old Lucy Lee shot a 78 in the U.S. Open. You're kidding me, right? This is Art Chansky with Friday Sports Notebook. The U.S. Women's Open, which is being played this weekend on the same Pioneers No. 2 course that hosted the men last week, is historic in more ways than one. It's the first time the women have followed the men on the same track in a grand experiment by the USGA. In the cradle of golf, appropriately, Pinehurst Village. But here's what makes it completely ridiculous. An 11-year-old from the Bay Area who qualified for the Open 2 weeks ago shot a 78 in the first round. That's 8 over par, but 7 of those strokes came on 3 early holes when she was admittedly a little nervous. No kidding. Lucy Lee played the other 15 holes and won over par, including birdies on a par 4 and a long par 5. Having fun after those jitters were off, the 5-1 Lee wore a red, white, and blue outfit with her belly button sticking out in every full turn she made with the golf club. She barely weighs 100 pounds but hits her drive at 230 yards. She has pigtails that swing along with her, and she's as unassuming as someone who has already excelled in junior diving, gymnastics, and music, and reads 400-page books in 2 days. Her favorite golfer is Raleigh's Webb Simpson. The daughter of two computer execs, she can already beat her father and older brother in golf. To put what Lucy Lee did in perspective, she is the second youngest young lady to ever play in the U.S. Open. The one girl who was younger shot a 95 in her debut round, 25 over par in 1967. Guess girls' golf has gotten a lot better since then. 26 other women shot a higher score than Lee Thursday, 16 of whom couldn't even break 80. Lucy Lee finished up her 18th hole with a par and headed right for the ice cream cooler, where she sucked on a pink creamsicle that perfectly matched her outfit. As intelligent and articulate as she is cute, Lucy said she just wants to go out there and have fun, doesn't really care what she shoots, and has never even thought about playing professionally. All of us hackers who can't break 80 on a course at least 500 yards shorter should take 2 weeks off and then quit the game. Lucy Lee shot a 78 in the U.S. Open on Pinehurst No. 2, wearing red, white, and blue, and called it fun between licks on a creamsicle. I call it awesome. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
With healthcare reform, the Affordable Care Act, and insurance mandates in the news, it's no wonder if you're confused. Come back to healthcare that starts with you, a place you can trust. UNC Family Medicine. We've been providing high-quality primary care to the community for over 45 years. Come see us. Make your appointment now at uncfamilymedicine.org. UNC Family Medicine, caring for the course of your life.
What would you do without her? Do you ever stop and think about that? You've had so many years together, it's like she's woven into your soul, into your very being. Sometimes you can't tell who is you and who is her. You're together in a way that only happens with years of loving each other. She's such a part of you now that the idea of life without her just doesn't make sense. What would you do without her? That's something you never want to find out. I'm Berkeley Grimble of Grimble Jewelers. This anniversary, love her with the gift that tells her with a big exclamation point that life with her is the only thing you want. A diamond set in a pendant or earrings, or that bigger diamond in her engagement ring. And when you hand her that little box, you say to her, "What would I do without you, honey?" And when she opens it, you tell her, "I never want to find out." Grimble Jewelers, because your life together is the only life you want. Grimble Jewelers, corner of Franklin and Elliott, Chapel Hill. GrimbleJewelers.com.
Hey, this is Dan Patrick from my friends at the Chapel Hill Restaurant Group. The group recently opened up a new restaurant. It's called Page Road Grill. Great place to meet friends in the middle of the triangle. They got fantastic southern cuisine. They got 20 beers on tap, plenty of parking, but they also offer a full catering menu. And they can handle any and all of your catering needs. They can do a small office event or cocktail party, or they can go big. They've actually catered events for over 1,000 folks. They can provide lunch and dinner buffets with feature menu selections from their award-winning restaurants. Mez, Squids, 411 West, 518 West, or Spanky's. They can also do boxed breakfasts or lunches or elegant dinner parties. And, of course, they offer an incredible selection of hors d'oeuvres and appetizers that will make any gathering a culinary success. There's only one problem they need to address. They don't go out of state, so they can't deliver to my man cave here. PageRoadGrill.com or click on catering. That's PageRoadGrill.com. PageRoadGrill.com.
We asked several members of the Cedars of Chapel Hill what they like best about living there. One of these is Gene Sutterth, Cedars member since 2005. Here's what Gene had to say.
My husband, Tom Sutterth, former state senator, passed away in 2010. He is the reason we came here. But let me tell you why I love living at the Cedars. The location is priceless. We are right in the middle of everything. Grocery stores, the Metamont community. The security and transportation are incredible. The grounds are breathtaking. The food is delicious. I am a vegetarian, and they even customize my pizza. The perks offered on campus are endless. Workout room, pool, hair salon, newspapers, movies, concerts, and so much more. My beloved Tom brought me to the right place.
thanks, Gene. To learn more about the Cedars lifestyle, visit cedarsofchapelhill.com.
Gaines Deer here at The Last Unicorn. Unique architectural antiques and other pretties. Our last tango in unicorn land, that's unicorn lingo for retirement, is open and willing each and every day in June, right now. Featuring a 50% discount on a vast and unusual inventory we are ready to be taken advantage of. Grayer pastures for me, bargains for you. Come plunder and tango with a whimsical unicorn. Old and new friends are invited. Find us at thelastunicorn.com. Till then,
today's
games.
Offer at ourlocaldeal.com is from Juergen's Top Notch Automotive. It's 50% off. Get a $30 voucher for North Carolina State Emissions and Safety Inspection available today for only $15. Do you dread having to deal with your car's annual emissions and safety inspection? With today's Our Local Deal, Juergen's Top Notch Automotive in Carrboro will take care of it for half off. Let Juergen's take some of the stress off you and your wallet. It's half off the regular inspection price from Juergen's Automotive, and it's available for a limited time. So buy it now at ourlocaldeal.com.
It's 8:30. Time now for your Chapel Hill Carrboro weather. And it's up to 72 degrees right now. Look for a high today of about 90, which is refreshingly cool compared to the last several days. Yesterday was just miserable out there. Partly sunny today, 20% chance for showers and thunderstorms to cool things off a bit this afternoon. But again, our high today about 90. Tonight, we're looking at mostly cloudy skies with a 30% chance for showers and thunderstorms. Low tonight about 70. On Saturday, mostly cloudy, showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly in the afternoon. By tomorrow in the upper 80s, 70% chance of rain through tomorrow night. And on Sunday, a nicer day with a high of about 85 degrees.
97.9 FM, WCHL is Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. And streaming live 24/7 at chapelboro.com.
News update, I'm Gary Nahn. The fight for the Iraqi town of Jalula. Kurdish troops and Islamic militants locked in battle today. President Obama sending some Green Berets to Iraq, but only as advisors. Targeted military action, he says. Iraq seeks more firepower.
The Iraqis want airstrikes, and they want them now. In an ideal world, they would like for the U.S. to be a sort of silent partner in the skies.
CBS's Clarissa Ward also reports that the militants have seized a chemical weapons facility.
They are old, they are contaminated, and most importantly, they are sealed in concrete. So, in fact, by trying to extract them, the militants would likely only gas themselves.
Mr. Obama pulled U.S. troops out prematurely, says this Iraqi man.
I think all this is a problem now in Iraq because of Obama, because he moved the American soldier.
They left Iraq.
They left Iraq, yes, exactly.
CBS News Update, I'm Gary Nahn.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit durhamtech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
WCHL News, Talk, and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
832, 72 degrees in Chapel Hill. Another hot day, but not quite as hot. High today about 90 degrees. At least we're not knocking on the door of 100. UNC will get a high-level update at the Board of Governors meeting from the investigator hired to conduct an independent investigation into the university's past academic and athletic irregularities. That meeting going on right now. The university hired former federal prosecutor Kenneth Weinstein back in January to conduct this investigation. Weinstein has informed UNC that no factual findings will be shared in the update because his investigation is not yet complete. He has told the university that he hopes to have the investigation concluded before classes begin this fall. Rand Northam is at that meeting right now. In response to a request for a statement from UNC about the latest in the investigation and the academic scandal, the university released the following statement, and I quote, "At this time, we think it is best to allow Ken Weinstein to continue his work without the university creating a concurrent review of every claim that arises. Once Mr. Weinstein has completed his work and makes that public, we will be very interested in sharing our plans for moving forward." So again, if any news comes out of this, we will have it for you on WCHL. Our news director, Rand Northam, is there at the moment. Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools announced the hiring of four new high school coaches last night. Among those are former Reidsville High boys basketball coach Bill Walton, who will take over for interim Chapel Hill High School coach Layson Perkins. Some speakers in the meeting last night spoke out in favor of Perkins. And Carrboro High assistant football coach Melvin Griffin will become the head coach for Carrboro. WCHL Hill's Danny Hooley has more on the story.
On Thursday night, Tim Bennett, athletic director at Chapel Hill High, issued a statement that reads in part, quote, "We are excited to announce three new coaches, William Walton, Jason Curtis, and Greg Kane, to our coaching staff at Chapel Hill High School. Each one brings valuable experience and strong leadership to our athletic program." End of quote. And Carrboro High School athletic director April Ross issued this statement about new head football coach Melvin Griffin. Quote, "Coach Griffin has extensive knowledge and experience in football, and we have the utmost respect and confidence in his abilities to lead our program. We are currently seeking qualified assistant coaches to complete our football coaching staff." End of quote. Moving up from assistant football coach at Carrboro High, Griffin replaces Jason Tudrin, who left in April to take a job as UNC's first director of high school relations. New Chapel Hill High boys basketball coach Bill Walton resigned as Reidsville High's head coach back in January, citing health reasons. In 8-plus seasons, Walton led the Reidsville Rams to a record of 145-72. His most recent predecessor at Chapel Hill High, Layson Perkins, was named interim coach in the wake of former athletic director and head coach Todd Morgan's departure last September. Morgan took a job at C.B. Acock High School in Pikeville. Perkins led the Tigers through a 19-8 season and was an assistant coach under Morgan for 4 years. At Thursday night's Chapel Hill Carrboro Board of Education meeting at Lincoln Center, several people from the basketball program at Chapel Hill High came out to voice their disappointment that Perkins would not carry on as head coach. This was just before the new hires were announced. Here's team member Jeremy Worden.
I've been in the Chapel Hill basketball program for 3 years. Throughout these years, the varsity basketball team has encompassed a 69-14 record, as well as being back-to-back-to-back conference champions. While our current coach was not the head coach for two of those years, he was still a crucial part of the program. He's a great tactician, coming up with countless offensive and defensive schemes created to complement our personnel.
Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools Executive Director for Community Relations Jeff Nash has pointed out that CHCCS hires all coaches for only one season at a time. The other two new coach hires for Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools are Greg Kane, the head softball and baseball coach for Smith Middle School, who will now be the head coach for Chapel Hill High Softball, and Jason Curtis, the new head coach for men's and women's soccer at Chapel Hill High. He's stepping up from the assistant coaching position there. For more on this story, you can read it at chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
A quick update on what's happening in Raleigh right now. North Carolina budget negotiations are delayed because lawmakers and Governor Pat McCrory's administration are still updating how much money they will need for Medicaid next year. Fiscal researchers for the legislature and state budget director Art Pope said Thursday they've had a hard time collecting detailed enrollment and spending information from the state Medicaid agency. Pope says he is keeping lawmakers informed as they create an updated forecast soon. The House and Senate budgets are about $250 million apart on how much more Medicaid money is required through mid-2015. And the governor signed into law a bill laying out the activities students and staff can perform while exercising their constitutional rights for religious expression and prayer in North Carolina's public schools. McCrory's office said the legislation was one of four bills he signed yesterday. The measure explains how school administrators should comply with federal law and guidance on constitutionally protected prayer. It attempts to make clear the extent to which religious views and literature can be shared on campus and what school personnel may do during voluntary student-led prayer. Another new law directs the State Board of Election to identify students with military parents or other military connections in school records. The identification, according to the governor, could help the state tap into federal military funds. WCHL News Time is 8:37. Ladies and gentlemen, Zach Godwin has just checked in, leisurely lolling around in the Twitter chair this morning at the Twitter desk.
The Twitter footstool is very comfortable.
I like those cushions you put in the chair too, because, you know, I just feel more comfortable just looking at you.
Absolutely. They're official Twitter pillows.
I want you to help work with me and make this chair more comfortable over here. What's happening today? What are people tweeting about?
Well, of course, it was either yesterday or the day before that the news came out about the Redskins, their patent being denied.
Yeah.
Which, so you and I can go into business making Redskins t-shirts now a lot easier. But of course, people are now speculating if they do change their name, what are some new names for them? There's a hashtag new Redskins name out there.
Really?
And of course, there are lots of ridiculous things like the Washington, we're so terrible, it doesn't matter, things like that. But there are some legitimate names out there from some folks, and I want to get your opinion on them. I'll read you the name, and you give me a score, 1 out of 10, on that name.
One out of 10, okay.
We'll decide the new Redskins name. Ten being the best.
Ten being best, okay.
One being worse.
All right. Gotcha.
The Washington Senators. What do you think of that?
Two.
All right, then you'll really not like this one. The Washington Federals.
Two.
So it gets a little better. The Washington Braves, which was the original team name when they were in Boston.
Seven.
All right. The Washington Warriors.
Eight.
Yeah, there's even a logo for that one.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. Looks like a WWE logo, actually.
Well, I didn't think of that. The Washington Redhawks.
Four.
All right. This one is just kind of dropping the red part of the name, the Washington Skins.
Zero.
Yeah. That one's pretty terrible.
It's horrible.
The Washington Renegades.
If people think Redskins is negative, I mean, one thing I think about Renegades, I mean, people would complain about that too.
So. Yeah. Well, at least Renegades is everybody being terrible. It's not racist, at least.
I didn't even want to get into that discussion, but one.
And here's the last one.
Okay.
This is probably the most harmless one. The Washington Pigskins.
Washington Pigskins?
Yes.
Oh, 12.
12?
Oh, that's ridiculous. That's
all right, so you heard your terrible. Post. That's, the Washington Warriors.
That's terrible.
Is the winner of what Twitter has come up with for me and Ron.
Yeah, come on. we haven't heard the end of this, I'm sure. It's going to be...
Oh, no, they're appealing it, and there will be discussion for another 30 years before anything happens.
Tied up as long as we're alive, you know, certainly as long as I'm alive. So, at any rate, thank you so much. And if people want to get in touch with us, they want to tweet something clever to us, maybe tweet their ideas.
Yeah, if you want to send us a better name.
What, the Redskins?
Washington Tar Heels.
Yeah, that'd go over real big, too.
Washington McCants.
How do they do that? Washington McCants, right. I like that one.
It's just at Chapelboro or at WCHL. Maybe you can do better than me and Ron at coming up with names.
Hey, let me make it clear. I didn't come up with those names. I'm just reacting.
That's right. We'll put a disclaimer. Those were from the internet.
And you didn't actually come up with them either.
No.
So,
blame here.
Exactly. All those anonymous people out there in internet land are the ones who came up with it. And they can say anything they want, I guess, as long as they're not accountable for it. Hey, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ron.
Talk to you later. And send Katie Thompson in here, if you don't mind. It is 841 at WCHL. The person I just mentioned, Katie Thompson, is here to talk about what's going on with Habitat for Humanity, and we're going to talk to her in just a moment.
Do you want to know the most affordable secret for anti-aging? Sunscreen. Daily use of sunscreen will help prevent photo-aging, such as wrinkles, broken blood vessels, and brown spots, as well as skin cancers associated with sun exposure. Carolina MediSpa carries several different options depending on your needs and skin type. Everyone should be using a sunscreen that is SPF 30 or higher with broad spectrum UVA and UVB protection every day. Stop by Carolina MediSpa today for a sample of a sunscreen that's right for you. All sunscreens are 20% off in April and May.
No lazy summer days at Durham Tech. From photography to computers, interior design to bartending, Durham Tech has a wide range of continuing education courses all summer long. Returning students, summer is a great time to meet with your advisor for fall semester. And new students, look online to schedule your mandatory Connect session. Have a question? Get it answered by phone, email, online chat at durhamtech.edu, or simply stop by and see us at our Durham or Orange County campus.
This is Kit Ballew of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. Over the last 15 years, thousands of you out there have worked with us to buy or sell property, and you always come back and you always refer your friends and family to us.
We are grateful for that loyalty and never take you for granted. This message really isn't for you. In fact, you guys hum quietly to yourselves. You know who you are.
This message is for those of you who don't have the kind of relationship with a realtor that we have with our clients. If you are buying or selling property this spring, you owe it to yourself to call Franklin Street.
Obviously, we prefer to be the only call you make, but if you're looking around, we should certainly be on your short list. Do this. Go to our website, check us out, give us a call.
FranklinStreetRealty.com. Our phone number is there, our agents are there, the bus schedule is there.
The buses here are free.
Yeah, and all kinds of cool links to local stuff.
Local, you mean like us, locally owned and operated?
Exactly. Not just another pretty faceless corporation. Franklin Street Realty at 929-7174. Why would you call anyone else?
Good morning from 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. You're waking up with Ron Stutz. And remember, we're your station for the Tar Heels.
844 at WCHL. Is there something wrong with the name Tar Heels? Maybe somebody's going to object to that and we'll lose our copyright over it. I don't know. This is Ron Stutz along with Katie Thompson from Habitat for Humanity. And I understand, Katie, that Habitat has a big celebration coming up. Tell us about it.
We do. We have a big barbecue. It's happening tomorrow, Saturday, June 21st. Ron, I heard the weather forecast for tomorrow. It's not looking very good, but we're not too concerned. We have plenty of tents. We'll keep everyone out of the rain tomorrow. We're going to have lots of barbecue from the pig. Hillsborough Barbecue will be there. I think the thing we might be most excited about is we've heard Ramsey's will be out there to celebrate with us for our 30-year anniversary.
Cool. 30 years, Habitat for Humanity of Orange County. It really is amazing. And as you celebrate, I know that there's going to be a lot of fun, but there's a serious message in here, too. And what is the mission, as far as you're concerned, for Habitat for Humanity?
Absolutely. So we're really looking to help people find affordable homes in our area. There's so many people who work here, maybe at the grocery store, at the university, who just have to live outside of Orange County because they can't find a safe, you know, affordable place for their families here. So we're working with families to help build them homes that they then purchase from us at a rate that they can afford. And I think really 30 years to us is a testament to the community we live in. And it's showing that we have all of these volunteers, all of these supporters. I mean, we had 2,000 volunteers work with us in the past year. And so many of them we're seeing every week. And it just speaks to their drive to come out and help their neighbors find a good place.
We talk about affordable housing in our community a lot and the lack thereof. And, of course, Habitat for Humanity, the whole concept, a lot of it is based on sweat equity. The people who get these houses actually put a lot of work into them to make it happen.
You bet. We were actually just talking about a homeowner who worked 6 days a week, and on his one day off, he was out at the construction site putting in that sweat equity time, so really working 7 days a week, and he put in 325 hours. So that's really quite a lot when you look at it and think about how you spend your time. So that's just a requirement before these families are even allowed to purchase their homes. They put in that sweat equity time.
What exactly do you do with Habitat for Humanity?
Yes, I am doing fundraising and working with volunteers at Habitat. So we're just getting the big mix of people who want to come out and help do the work we're doing. I also volunteer with our family selection committee, and that's a real great way to see the families that end up buying these houses and see how hardworking they are. And we had a meeting a couple weeks ago for those families, and we were handing out applications for the homes that we'll be building. And we had 80 families pick up applications for our Habitat homes. And sadly, we only can choose two of those families moving forward. So it's just a testament to the need that's out there and that there's still families who are looking for a place to live.
Katie, this is one of the things, the kind of job where I would imagine you feel good when you get up in the morning. Is this something that you've been concerned about your whole life and always wanted to do?
Absolutely. So I started working with Habitat when I was in college. I can't say I'm a Tar Heel, but I'm glad that my Habitat experience led me down here. I went on a trip and worked after Katrina hit and saw the work that Habitat was doing down there and really saw the need there was for safe housing. And I've just always been someone who loves my own home, so I love to give that opportunity to other people. So it's just a joy.
One of the reasons for the success, long-term, 30 years, of Orange County Habitat for Humanity is the very fine executive director you've had for a long time.
You bet. So Susan Levy has been our executive director for over 20 years, and she is really the heart and soul. If you ask anyone, they know that she has been leading this mission, and she is so passionate for what we do, and she takes such care for the people that we're working with. So I'm so glad you mentioned that, Ron, because I think whenever we can thank Susan, we love to do that.
Absolutely. If somebody wants to find out more about tomorrow's big celebration, where is it, when is it, all that sort of thing, how do they do that?
So people can visit us on our website. That's orangehabitat.org. We're also on Twitter and Facebook, the same words, Orange Habitat. And come and see us 11 to 2 tomorrow in Chapel Hill.
Katie, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Ron.
It's 8:48 at WCHL. You're looking for something to do this weekend, there's something for you right there. It is time now to get today's opinion piece from none other than Ellie Kinnaird.
And now, WCHL presents The Commentators.
This is Ellie Kinnaird. We all know who the bad guys are in our towns, don't we? Developers. The only thing more evil are big box stores. By the way, where did you shop last week? Developers, those folks who cut down the trees next to our beautiful home, who destroy open space and pave roads and bring in heavy equipment, making our life miserable for months. But unless you live in one of the old homes on East Franklin Street and surrounding the campus, or the old African-American neighborhoods, you live in a development. Lakeshore, Morgan Creek, Booker Creek, Sturbridge, Falconbridge, Lake Hopin Farms, Highland Hills, Stone Ridge, The Oaks, Southern Village, Colony Woods, even Greenwood, developed by our hero Paul Green. Remember Glen Lennox? A development, and now a redevelopment. Roger Perry fought for 10 years to build Meadowmount, where now many happy people think it is a lovely place to live and shop. In fact, if you are listening to this program, you probably, along with 40,000 other souls, live in a development. Even our treasured Carborough Mill Houses were a development. So why are the developers the enemy? Partly because we think we own all that empty space we enjoy, forever. Partly because our visual landscape is part of our precious memories. But as each development is built, families move in and never know that it was a woods or an open field or landscape that someone else enjoyed. They think of it as their neighborhood. The fact is, unless you are very wealthy or inherited land, single-built houses are just not feasible. It takes capital to buy the land and lots of reserves in the bank to sit out the interminable years it takes to go through our obstructionist permitting system. And why is that system so difficult? Because nobody wants a development next to them until their kids in the new neighborhood go to school together, play together, become friends, just like you and your kids did when you moved into your development. So as you stand on your porch of the beautiful house you love, looking over your pleasant yard, watching your children play with those from the street over, thank a developer. This is Ellie Kinnaird.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL. What you're saying on the street, presented by ISIS IT. What you're saying on the street.
I'm Morgan Alderman. The issue of our country's national minimum wage has been prevalent in the news lately as Seattle, Washington raises its minimum wage to $15 an hour. We hit the streets to see what you think about the current minimum wage.
Deborah Bozeman. And yes, I feel like the minimum wage should be raised to at least $10 because it's the way economy is now, no one can make it off of $7 an hour.
My name is Sheila Evans, and I'm from Carborough. I think it definitely should be raised.
My name is Karen Griffiths. I'm from Munich, Germany, but I've lived here for a long time. And I think the minimum wage is totally crucial. There should be one, and it should be way higher than what it is because you cannot live on $12,000, $13,000, $14,000 a year in this country.
Leanne Reed Maltby. I'm from Chapel Hill. I think the minimum wage right now is kind of ridiculous. It's at $7.50. I think that our minimum wage should at least be 10, honestly. It's still hard for me to pay for everything, and I'm a waitress, and I make more than 10 an hour.
Gary Messenger, and I'm from Durham. Minimum wage should be raised to $10 immediately. For whatever it is, $7 and change or $8 is far too low for any kind of existence for any family. And then you should be raised from the $10 to a minimum of $15 on a gradual basis every year.
What do you think about the current minimum wage?
Al Bowers. I am from Chapel Hill. I do support a raise in the minimum wage. I think the rate should be $8 per hour.
Sammy Martin. I live in Chapel Hill. I think the minimum wage needs to be increased. It's been stagnant for years and has actually gone backwards if you factor in inflation. And I would leave it to economists who really study this to determine how much, but the $10 minimum that Obama's talked about seems entirely reasonable to me.
Don Lupton, I'm from Chapel Hill. I think it would be easier if it was raised to $12 an hour because that would bring it up to the national poverty level of $24,000 per year.
That's what you're saying on the street.
on 97.9 FM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT, managed IT solutions to fit your needs. Find out how they can save you money at igotfixed.com.
Boy, Morgan Alderman managed to get some real movers and shakers in there. You hear that? Al Bowers, Sammy Martin. Oh, cool. 854 at WCHL. You remember Wayne Pond's word of the day? What is the word? How do you spell it? What does it mean? 919-929-WCHL is your number to call if you know the answer. The word of the day, always brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. And speaking of Sammy Martin, your number to call right now, 919-929-WCHL.
Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
Well, Scott Maitland, the owner of the Top of the Hill restaurant, explained to me the other day why he took the risk about 20 years ago to open that business when it looked like all the odds were stacked against him. He just said he didn't want to go through the rest of his life wondering what he might have missed if he hadn't taken that opportunity. But he could have just as well been talking about his latest businesses, and that's the Topo Distillery operating in the former newspaper printing plant on West Franklin Street. Maitland says that most of us here in Chapel Hill still do not know that the town has a real operating distillery producing vodka and gin and a soft whiskey made from North Carolina winter wheat. He told me people still do not realize that the distillery and the brewery deal with agricultural products. He said that is because for the last 50 years, both of these industries were dominated by huge concerns, and the manufacturers were removed from our daily lives. First the craft beer movement of 20 years ago, and now the craft distillery movement provide a way to reconnect these products in our local economy, Scott explained to me. His goal in his handcraft brewery and his handcraft distillery is, to the extent possible, to use organic and local agricultural products. But getting local all the products for the brewery is almost an impossible challenge. Still, most of the ingredients to produce vodka and gin really are readily available nearby. Well, craft distilleries, like craft brewers or breweries, can make higher quality products than their mass production competitors, Scott Maitland asserts. He says people think that all vodkas and spirits are created equal. It's not true. Here's a dirty secret in our industry. 70% of the distilleries do not make their own alcohol. They buy it from concerns that mass produce alcohol. The difference is that anyone who's brewed beer or baked bread knows the yeast you use makes a big difference in the final product. So, if you're a mass producer making ethanol alcohol, you don't know what part of it will end up in somebody's drink or in his or her gas tank. Consequently, you make the choices that maximize the alcohol production rather than the taste. All that's from Scott. Even after further distilling, the bad taste remains. So the distiller has to filter it out. And when you filter out all the bad flavors, you also filter out the good ones too. Well, handcraft distillers like Scott Maitland and Topo can choose their yeast, their raw materials, and use low-volume processes to produce distinct and pleasing taste. And the visitors that Maitland encourages to tour the distillery on West Franklin Street have a chance to compare the taste of the Topo products that Scott makes with those of other popular brand name vodkas, gin, and whiskey. And then they can make their own decision about which one or which ones suit their palates. But Maitland's not worried. He thinks Topo will win every time. This is D.G. Martin.
All right, dear D.G., thank you very much. Topo, 858, I'm Rod Sutch. Congratulations to Dexter Louie, who called in with the word of the day. It is repartee, or repartee, as Wayne said, R-E-P-A-R-T-E-E. It means quick, witty replies or quick, witty conversation, repartee. And Dexter Louie gets a $10 gift card to Cruisers.
Summertime is upon us, and your friends at Glass Half Full Restaurant, Wine Bar, and Wine Shop invite you to enjoy lunch or dinner outdoors on our beautiful garden patio. As the season changes, so does our menu and wine selection. Glasses of copper-colored rosés shine beside fresh spring greens, fragrant herbs, and crisp new vegetables from the farmer's market. And our pitchers of icy-cold sangria return. Patio weather is here. Come enjoy at Glass Half Full. Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Tar Heel Photo Booth. It's over half off photo booth rental and props for events and parties. You choose from two options. Rental for 2 hours is just $249, normally a $549 value. Photo booths have become a must-have for every event, from weddings to reunions to corporate events. Tar Heel Photo Booth uses only the latest professional equipment, and the photo booths are portable enough to go just about anywhere. Capture some epic moments at your next gathering. It's over half off from Tar Heel Photo Booth, and it's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
73 degrees in Chapel Hill. Look for a high today of about 90 with a slight chance of rain in the afternoon. It's 9 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
CBS News, I'm Frank Settapani. The spiritual leader of Iraq's Shiite majority says it's time for a change. The essence of the message from Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani seems to be that Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki and his Shiite government are to blame for the uprising by Sunni militants. A man on the street in Baghdad says Maliki's decision to give guns to Shiite militias has turned the capital city into an armed camp.
I've been threatened. Militias in Sunni and Shia areas are threatening people. They're all murderers and thieves who have got weapons.
While the fighting continues, President Obama has decided to send as many as 300 Green Berets to help the Iraqi army quell the insurgency. CBS's Major Garrett takes a look at what could be next.
This is the first step of an evolving U.S. military strategy in Iraq. Airstrikes will remain.